Today, this Thursday, I have some various different thoughts that I want to visit or uncover. And you know, New Life Ministry, if you look under the caption, I have a heart with a heartbeat, and then the line coming from it with the cross, and I have first aid for the heart of man. And that is what our ministry is about, the heart of man, helping man understand the heart of God for them so that their heart can be healed and can be whole, so that you can know the true God, how much he truly loves you, so that you could know what he truly desires for you, what he truly has provided for you, especially in our new and better covenant. It's so vitally important that you understand and know the new and better covenant, and totally understand that New Testament does not equal new and better covenant. And we talked about a scripture, I think it was yesterday or the day before, from Hebrews chapter 1, and the writer, and I believe it's Paul, he's talking about in times past, okay? He said God spoke to us in various and different ways, you know, through the prophets especially. But in these last days, you see, all throughout the Bible, you'll see the phrase, the end of days, the end of time, these last days. Now, for the reader today, most of Christianity, I know in this United States, the Christians in the United States, they believe that's all talking about the end days. But back then, they knew full well what Jesus was talking about. If you go on in the book of Hebrews, it talks about that which is obsolete will soon vanish away. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. So when he talks about these last days, it's talking about this last age where the law was coexisting with grace. And it was coming a day, AD 70, when the law would completely vanish away and all we would be left with would be our covenant of grace. Now, Paul unfolded the covenant of grace, and he's the one that taught us to rightly divide a straight cut, law from grace, because he was ministering in the true gospel of grace. This is why he made that phenomenal statement, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, the Jew and the Gentile. For therein lies the righteousness of God, believing in the gospel of Christ. For the just shall live by faith. And that word salvation, you know, every blessing that you could think of from Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it lists the blessings, forgiveness, redemption, restoration, deliverance, healing, wholeness, wellness, provision, it's all included in this great salvation. Because when you think about that word salvation, it's akin and kind of corresponds with the word shalom that was used a lot by the Hebrew people. And whenever you see the word peace in our Old Testament, it's usually shalom. And shalom, you know, is kind of the same word as soteria. So when you're saying to someone shalom, you're blessing them, right? You're encouraging them in peace of God, the perfection of God, okay, the provision of God, the wellness of God, the healing of God. It's similar to our word soteria for salvation. And that word encompassed all the blessings and all the promises. I mean, there's not anything that Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15 leaves out. talks about personal health. It talks about personal wealth. It talks about blessed family relationships. It talks about, you know, being the head, being the top. You know, how enemies will never be able to stand up against us. Our homes are blessed, right? Our children are blessed. Our livestock, our pets, everything is blessed. Every blessing. You see, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has provided all things pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the covenant. Through the covenant. So now it's important to understand that all the promises of God in Jesus, they're not yes and no anymore. They're all yes under this new and better covenant. All right? So it's important to understand that I address a lot the new you, which after the image and likeness of Christ is created in true holiness and true righteousness. We get that from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And the way you walk in that holiness and righteousness is not by endeavoring to become or striving to be or working to be, but it's in renewing the spirit of your mind to understand this is the new you. This is the true you. And when you believe right, you will live right. When you believe right, you will live as Christ. So it's very important to understand that aspect of the new creation. And it's equally important to understand the aspect of healing when it comes to our new creation. I know I spend a lot of time talking about our righteousness and our holiness, okay? But if you're righteous and you're holy, you're healed and you're whole. And so it seems that lately, especially with Wednesday nights, and if you want the video sent to you and you want the notes sent to you, we did lesson number 2 last night on Healing University. Just let me know and I will email it to you. I will get it off to you. I will send it to you. But it seems that lately the Holy Spirit is directing me toward healing. And not that he's directing me toward healing. He's directing me towards the new creation is not just holy and righteous and perfect and complete, but the new creation is whole and healed and well and prosperous and well provided for. See, this goes right along with holiness and righteousness and perfection and sanctification. Healing, wellness, wholeness, provision, protection. It's all about knowing your covenant, and you are entered into the covenant, the better covenant, the covenant that is faultless and flawless because it is not dependent upon you to keep it. It's just dependent upon you to believe in Jesus Christ because Jesus has met every single requirement. And this new covenant is between Jesus and the Father. It can never be broken. It's perfect. It's flawless. It's not dependent upon you. We just enter into it by faith and believing in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's where we are. He's a new creation. And that new creation is holy and righteous and sanctified and perfect and complete, but also healed and whole and well provided for and protected. And so it's important that as we uncover the new you, right? We uncover all of the new you. It's all part of it. So I'm not abandoning righteousness and holiness and sanctification. No, I'm just clarifying the fact that the whole picture includes holiness, righteousness, sanctification, completeness, provision, protection, healing, and wholeness. So now when we begin to embrace our new covenant, our better covenant, where all the promises of God are yes and amen, we'll be able to walk in the completeness of the new creation. And know this, we have every power and ability to do that. That's what John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. It says, for as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them, and it's just receive Jesus. To them, God the Father gave the right, the authority, the privilege, the ability to be his child, who were not born of man or the flesh, the will of man, but who were born of God, born from above, born of the Spirit. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, whom God knew in advance. That's you and I. He knew in advance what would happen when Christ would come and become God's perfect sacrifice and offering. Who he knew in advance. He determined as they believed and received his son, Jesus Christ, they would be conformed into the exact image, duplicate copy of Jesus Christ, who would be the firstborn amongst many children. That's you and I, many children. For whom God called, he justified. And who he justified, he glorified. This is powerful. So when you think of 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, here's love perfected. Whose love? What love? God's love. God's love for you. God's love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, you're not going to perish, but you're going to have eternal life, everlasting life. You are going to have Zoe life. And Zoe life is equal to soteria, salvation. Zoe life, righteousness, holiness, okay? Sanctification, perfection, completeness, healing, wellness, wholeness, provision, protection. It's powerful. It's beautiful. This is you and I. So here's love perfected, God's love for us, that we have boldness to come before him. We have boldness to stand before him. Why? You ever think about why? Because it says it. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world right now. So think about it. Can Jesus approach the Father? Can Jesus stand before the Father? Yes. So then that's love perfected. God has made the new creation to be just like Jesus. So if Jesus can, we can. And if Jesus is, we are. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it's vitally important. You come to the mirror where you see the glory of the Lord. And you keep coming and you just see it. And you believe you're looking at yourself. And the Holy Spirit will bring about the transformation. No working, no effort. It's believing. That is our effort. That is our work, to believe and to rest. That's the work that we're called to do. Believe and rest. Believe and rest. Believe and rest. Well, you want to add receive? Yeah, you got to receive the gift. You got to receive the gift. But there's no, I have to pray harder. I have to work more. I have to put in more hours at the church. All good things. I have to read so much every day. All good things. But none of them will help you achieve righteousness and good standing before God. You already have perfect standing before God if you believe and you receive Jesus Christ. And you know, when you totally embrace the new creation realities, all right, and you believe and you grow in your understanding that you're just like him, and you're right, and you're righteous, and you're holy, and you're unblameable, you're a saint, sin is going to melt off. Sin is going to melt off. Provisions are going to come because you're going to know you are blessed. You are highly favored, just as Jesus is. Jesus is heir to the world, and we've gone over the scriptures that tells us we are heirs, but not only heirs, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If it's his, it's ours. If he is, we are. If he can, we can. Man, I wish I would have grew up with this. I wish I would have grew up with this truth. You know what I grew up with? I grew up with man. Oh, we're just sinners. We're always going to be sinners. I grew up with, you know, hey, I make God upset, so upset that he's going to vomit me out. He's going to puke me out, you know. I cannot make God upset. You cannot make God upset. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us sins and iniquities he remembers no more. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us because of the blood of Jesus, he's purged us from an evil consciousness of sin. You know, Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, it says he's perfected us and sanctified us forever. And then after that, I believe it's verse 14 in chapter 10 of Hebrews, this is what the Holy Spirit is a witness of. And Jesus gave us his glory. He says it in John chapter 17, verse 23. And Paul tells us that the Father glorified us in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. So we can never make God sick to his stomach. God is well pleased with us. God is in love with us. God has made us to be just like Jesus. He's made this new relationship, this new covenant, flawless and faultless. And so, you know, we were raised with, oh, we're so sinful, we're so sinful, we're so sinful. And then you remember that then we would be told, you know, because listen, the days are dark. You know, you're facing challenges. You're facing sicknesses or diseases. You're facing troubled financial times, you know. And what was the answer? Here it is. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And so the preacher would always say, okay, the preacher would always say, turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wickedness. We are wicked. We are sinners. Turn from it. Humble yourself. You know what? When you read this, I told you, it's history so that we can learn from. What God is calling for them to do is to keep their end of the covenant. That's all. Because when you go on, see, you always have to read things in context. When you just go on a couple of verses down, it says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up. I will pluck you up by the roots out of my hand, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done this unto his land and unto his house and unto his people? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 19 through 21. So you see, all that scripture is dealing with is the covenant. This is why God had to replace that, because they could not keep it. So if my people turn from their wicked ways, what wicked ways? They're serving the other gods. They've abandoned my commandments. They've abandoned my statutes. What does that mean? They've abandoned the covenant. This is all it is. It's a call to covenant. Now, we better not ever pray that prayer. Okay? Because our covenant is perfect. Our covenant is flawless. And our covenant is faultless. Think about that great Psalm 91. We all love Psalm 91, right? Even Psalm 103. Do you know Psalm 103 talks about bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. You know, if you keep reading in that psalm, it's all because of covenant. When the Israelites kept his covenant, their sins were forgiven, and they walked in divine health. It's all about covenant. But you see, we can throw out the do-it-yourself part, and we just get the blessing. Iniquities are forgiven, never to be remembered anymore, and we are healed. That's why it's important for you to know the difference between the old and the new mixture and just the new. Because with just a new, all these promises are ours. They're yes and amen. That is the new and better covenant. Faultless and flawless. And then think about Psalm 91. All those promises there. You know, pestilence won't affect us, right? Yeah. Enemies will fall before us, you know? No plagues will enter our home. You know, think about Psalm 91. Well, it starts out with abiding. It starts out with, you know, being under the wings. It starts out with being in the shadow. What it's talking about is you are in right covenant. They are in right covenant. So because of that, look at all the promises that are in Psalm 91. Now, Psalm 91 is not this amazing, special psalm. When you look at all that God has promised us in Psalm 91 through the writer, it's what was promised in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. Exactly. So all this psalmist is doing is talking about a life under covenant. So why is that exciting for us as a new creation? Because as a new creation, all you need to do is believe. It's kept by Jesus and the Father. So now, Psalm 91, Deuteronomy chapter 28, Psalm 103, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we walk in that. Those are the promises that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, that we're established in with our new and better covenant. So there's some thoughts I just want to share with you so that you would begin to understand more clearly the Bible about Jesus and his unfolding and unveiling, getting us to Jesus. And as we were getting to Jesus, God made covenants with men. They reneged. They reneged on the covenants. There's some covenants they didn't want to even accept. And because of that, God couldn't bless them, and God always wanted to bless them. They asked for a covenant, they couldn't keep it. So God had to provide a way that we can all keep it. And his way was the better way. The better covenant was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's perfect sacrifice and offering. God provided the sacrifice and offering. Jesus provided all the work and effort and obedience. The Father was well pleased in the Son. They have a covenant now, a never-ending, faultless and flawless covenant. And we enter into that just by believing, just by faith, just by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's no more do-it-yourself system. There's no more you have to do it. You have to earn it. You have to work for it. So all these beautiful promises, right, that were based upon Israel keeping their covenant, which they couldn't, they are now ours, and we can walk in them, not by having to keep them the way the Israelites did, but because Jesus met all the requirements. And now Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, we have been qualified to qualify. We've been qualified by the Father to qualify, to walk in the greatness of our inheritance. Listen, I started listening to Joseph Prince, I don't know, about 12 years ago. I don't listen to him as much as I do now because, you know, the Holy Spirit is bringing about to me my own, you know, revelations from the Word of God, because I believe I have the right filters, the right grace filters. But I learned from Joseph Prince, and I'm sure if you've listened to him, you hear it now. To believe right is to live right. When you're believing right, you're living right. Living right, living holy, living righteous, living sanctified, living healed, living whole, living in prosperity, living with provision, living protected. To believe right is to live right. Not to work and put in the right kind of effort. No, to believe right. And you know, it's my heart that we all grow together in this belief. Because I'm just not doing this to teach because I want you to think I'm a great teacher. No, I'm doing this because my heart goes out to the body of Christ. My heart goes out to many of you who I know who are standing for the healing to be manifested, who are standing for the provision to be made, for the need to be met. And I so want you to walk in the fullness of the victory, in the fullness of your blessings, and the fullness of God's favor towards you. My heart goes out to the ones who who are suffering and fighting ALS or a dementia or Alzheimer's or cancer. Diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease. My heart goes out. And I know each and every one of you that have asked me to stand with you and pray with you. And I want you to know I do and I am. And I will continue to. And I believe by his stripes you were healed. And I believe when the revelation comes, it's going to be an amazing and a magnificent day when the fullness of the manifestation has come. And I can't wait for you to say to me, Pastor Lenny, it's gone. Thank you for your message. That's my heart. That's why I preach and teach. Not to get 1,000 likes. I don't get 1,000 likes. Not to have a bunch of followers. I don't get many followers. But I'm looking for those who are looking for the answer. And I'm working alongside the Holy Spirit to help bring them to you. Listen, I love you. I appreciate you. Lori and I will be with you tomorrow morning. If you have any requests, please let me know. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.